Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, God. I've started headbanging to that music now. Oh, okay. Welcome, everybody, to Copa Talk. This is Kim Abel, and this is episode 14.
All right, I'm Kelly Jean, and tonight we're talking to Jay McLean.
Hi.
I guess it's really not nighttime where you are.
No, it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Good morning!
Good morning!
It's a fabulous way to start the day.
It's school holidays here, and the whole family's been staying up, like, ridiculously late. So the parents stay up till like 4 o'clock in the morning. So getting
nice.
Oh my God!
I was like, oh God.
They're all still sleeping, right?
Yeah, they are, and I'm away. And I like sleep the latest.
Sorry.
That's okay. We all planned right, it
so
in advance.
Start,
so it's okay.
Before we start, I'm going to do a disclaimer so we don't get ourselves into trouble. This show is COPA, Coalition of Positive Authors, and it's a group of authors on Facebook that all kind of support each other, and we just want to make sure that you do not hold them responsible for our behavior tonight on the show, because Lord knows what might come
for
out.
Our shenanigans.
So our opinions do not reflect those of all COPA authors, just to put that out there.
No,
and there
not.
May be foul language or, you know, whatever. So get your kids out of the room.
It's pretty much guaranteed.
you never know. You never know. So now that I got that out of the way, we're good to go.
Yeah, we're going to jump into some not super personal questions, but, you know, I'm dying to know, where in Australia are you from?
I am from Melbourne, Victoria,
okay.
Just in the suburbs. I've lived here for, like, I don't even know how old I am. I've lived here for 28 years now, so it's good. I love it. I wouldn't live anywhere else.
Where were you before that?
I was born in the Philippines, so
okay.
I was born there and moved here when I was 5.
All right. Like, Kelly and I were talking earlier, and I was like, I think he's Filipino, but, you know, you don't want to be rude and be like, what are you?
I'm pretty sure I'm
that all the time, so.
I have a lot of Filipino fans, so, and I love them, but they constantly message me in, like, Filipino, and I just have to question mark response because I don't speak it. I definitely can't read it. So I'm like, a Google Translate has failed me so many times, I can't even, like, I don't even want to risk it. So I don't speak it.
That's my husband.
So, yeah, Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah. I get crap all the time because I don't speak Japanese, but I'm all like, Japan's awesome, yeah. My husband's like, yeah, if you could speak it, but, you know, whatever.
But have you visited, like, in
Yeah, I lived there for 3 years as an adult, and I grew up there for, like, 5 years when I was a kid, because my dad was a Marine, so I moved there a lot.
Oh, and when you went to school there, did you go to, like, Japanese school, or was it, like, an international school?
No, there's, on the military bases, there's schools, so it's like when you're on the military base, you're in America, like, they have... like, everything, the regular stores and, you know, schools and stuff like that. So I spoke better then, but then when you don't, you know, keep it up in practice, I think by the time my mom had me, she was like, yeah, whatever. Like, my sisters speak it fluently, and they can read it, and they understand everything. And, like, 9 years later, I popped out, and they're like, yeah, whatever. So
yeah, don't worry about her.
Yeah.
All right. I've lived in Norway for 10 years, and... Can barely speak the language. I speak about a 5-year-old. Yeah, I'm terrible with languages. I'm like, I can't express myself the same way as I can in English, so I'm not even going to bother.
Aww.
I I can yell at my child in Norwegian because she speaks Norwegian. I can understand it. I'm not very good at it.
Well, you're gonna have to work on it because she's gonna like be arguing with you in Norwegian, and you're not gonna be able to combat with like a good argument.
Oh yeah.
She'll walk out of the room. I'll make her father deal with it.
Yeah. There you go. Oh gosh. Okay, so next question. Where is your favorite place to visit? We know that you've traveled the world, like, doing signings and stuff, but do you have a favorite place?
This is going to sound weird. I like to go to Texas.
It does sound weird.
It is. It's just because it's so, like, it's not exotic or anything. I don't know. The first time I traveled overseas, holy shit, was it Texas? No. The first time I actually traveled to the States, I went to New Orleans for RT.
Oh, that was, hell yeah.
In 2014. And I loved it, but I was so busy because it was RT that I didn't really get to see much of anything. And then I traveled to Texas for a signing. I think this is the order it went. I honestly cannot remember which one I went to first. But anyway, Texas just, like, it blew my mind, and I loved it. And I go there once or twice a year. I try to. And the people are just lovely, and I just love it. Like, if I was to live anywhere but Melbourne, it would be Texas. And I don't really know why. But, yeah.
Were there,
and
like,
then
lots
Bali.
Of cowboys walking around and stuff? Or, like, I mean, do you like the whole, like, accent, the southern accent thing going on, or
well,
the giant food?
I can tell you my first Texas experience was I went there by myself, and I got to the hotel, and I was like really tired, and I got on the lift or the elevator for you guys. I got on the elevator, uh-huh. And there were like these two cowboys in there, and they legitimately like tipped their hats, and they were like, howdy, man. And I just was like, yeah, Texas City.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, no. I don't know. I just think it's just amazing, and it's so different from Melbourne. But again, so is New Orleans, so I don't know why I picked Texas over New Orleans. And to be honest, New Orleans is probably like the people were nicer there. I don't know. I don't know why. Don't listen to me. I like New Orleans. Okay.
Well, you know, you like what you like. You don't have to explain it.
I do. I'll wear that. I'll claim that.
Now, do you have any pets?
Do I have any what?
Pets.
Say that again, sorry.
Cats, dogs.
Oh, pets.
A kangaroo. Do you have a kangaroo? Maybe a wallaby?
I do. Actually, the kangaroo's it's tied up out the front of the house, and it just eats out of grass. I don't know. Do kangaroos eat grass? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Let's say they do. No, I do. I have just a dog. I'm boring. We had two. One passed away last year. Our first one that we ever got. Her name's Mrs. Miyagi, but we call her Mimi for short. Because Mr. Miyagi should have really moved on to find a Mrs. Miyagi, but he never did. He was, like, so in love with his wife, who passed away, like, 113 billion years ago, and I just thought that was really sweet. So we named the dog after her. So I've always been romantic.
Apparently. That's awesome. And dogs are awesome, by the way, so that's not boring at all.
Yeah. She's cute.
What kind of dog is it?
Oh, my God.
It's a mutt, or?
I'm going to remember this. It's a West Highland Terrier cross Pomeranian.
Oh.
Yes. I can't believe I did that. It looks like a little rat, but it's cute.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
next
good
dog.
Job memory.
Yeah, I know. Our next dog is, we're planning on getting like a real big one because we're not, like, she's cute and stuff, but she doesn't do much. So we want to get like a big one that's active. She's old now, so.
Yeah. Like big, like huge, like mastiff big, or like Labrador?
Yeah, well,
big?
I want to, like a Labrador, we want to get a German Shepherd. And when I say I mean me.
Yeah. Well, then
McLean's had a German Shepherd before, and he's just like, they're just too hard to maintain. And I was like, no, I'll take care of it. I won't. But he will end up doing it, I'm sure. At least I admit that now.
Yeah. So, are you hooked on any television shows right now? And if so, what?
Oh, my God. I've been binge-watching TV, like, you would not believe, because I just released, like, 3 weeks ago, and this is, like, I've realized that this is now my my routine, so I release the book, and then, like, I lay low for, like, 2 months and don't do anything but watch TV. Don't laugh at me. No, I've been watching, well, I rewatched Roswell. I don't know if you guys know that show about the teenage aliens. And I've binge-watched Catfish on TV.
Oh, my gosh. I've been watching that lately, too. Like, first time ever. I'm probably the last person that ever watched Catfish. But I was like, holy shit.
It's so good. It's so good. And the movie, because, like, with the TV show, it's kind of like now, like, you sort of can work out what's going to happen, but the movie, before they realized, like, before catfishing became a thing, like, I was watching that and I was like, holy shit, and I didn't know whether to feel sorry for people or like to stab them in the
There's
face.
There's a catfish movie?
Like, dude, watch the catfish movie. It will
I did
blow
not know
your
there was
mind.
A catfish movie. You just blew my mind out. So, like, this is a real, like, documentary movie?
It's
or,
real.
Like,
so, yeah. It started off as him, like this little girl sending him photos. Oh, sorry, we're getting so off topic. Started off as this little girl sending him photos, and they were, like, recording it to, you know, sort of see how the relationship blossoms between this dude and this little girl. And then, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but just watch it. It is, like, it
dun,
is
dun,
insane.
Dun.
So that's you for the rest of the
I
day. You'll just be watching Catfish.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a movie. That's nuts.
Yeah, it's insane. So that's
well,
what I've been
I'm
doing.
I'm glad I asked you. Yeah.
And a lot of YouTube. I've just been, like, watching. Like, you know when you go on YouTube and you're, like, funny stuff on Alan, and then you end up on, like, 5 hours later, like, alien conspiracies or something, because you just keep clicking. Yeah, that's what I've been doing. So yesterday I started
I
off on Alan, and then I got
asleep.
To, like...
I recently fell asleep watching
hours.
Alien conspiracy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always there. That's the ending to everything, is alien conspiracies. Like, it doesn't matter where you start.
Everything leads to aliens.
Yeah. Everything leads to alien conspiracies.
It does.
Yesterday I was like, Justin Bieber on Alan, and then, don't tell anyone that, and then I ended up on, like, and then I ended up on, like, alien conspiracies. It was like 9 o'clock in the morning, Justin Bieber on Alan, 3 o'clock in the morning the next day, alien conspiracies. And I'm like,
it's a black hole. Exactly what, YouTube is like a black hole. It just sucks you in, and you know, before you know it, your life has passed you by.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, they keep suggesting new videos. Like, stop suggesting
they
videos.
They do. And it's like, you can't
wait. Like, oh, that looks interesting.
You just keep clicking. It's bad. YouTube is bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, too. I could have written so many words. Oh, my God, don't get me started on Facebook.
I always convince myself that it's research. Oh, no,
it
I'm
is research. Oh, yeah,
straight for research.
Alan, totally research.
Yeah. I binge watch Beyond Scared Straight. Like, what? Who does that? Like, I'm just basking in their misery. I don't know what. I'm like, yes, this girl is in prison for 5 years for something she didn't do. This is awesome.
Oh, God.
I can't, like, people can't sit in the room with me because they're like, seriously, again?
So
I don't know
great.
What's wrong with me. I don't know. I think I need help.
Okay, all right. Now, do you have any tattoos or piercings?
Oh, my God. I have three. I have a tramp stamp because I got one when I was 18. It was really cool.
Me too.
A lot of people would, and we just. I have one on my foot and one on my wrist. And I actually, when I was a teenager, I had a lot of piercings. But I later realized that I was allergic to any and all metal on skin. So I had my tongue pierced for a long time. And then I met my now husband. He was just like, I'm not really into piercing, so I took it out. That's
Kelly
it.
Used
but
to
I've
be
got
a piercer.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, cool. I was.
That's cool. I would get so many things pierced if my body could handle it. But
I did get a lot of things pierced.
No regrets.
Yeah,
I can't get my ears. Like, my ears have been pierced, like, 3 times, but they get infected every time, like, no matter what I've been there. But my nose, for some reason, is perfectly fine.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I don't
know.
That's
really cool, though. I paid, like, $120 for my eyebrow to get pierced, and it looked so good for, like, a day, and then the skin around it just died, and it fell off, like, 2 days later. And now I've got all this stupid gnarly scar that's going to be there forever, and I hate it, but I'm like, what are you going to do? You can't do anything about it now.
Well, you know, it makes you look badass, like,
it does.
Stab in
I
the
got
eye.
Yeah, exactly. I got bottled and got by. I was so bad when
exactly.
I was younger.
You could just make up all different stories, and like every time
I could.
Out. Yeah.
I'm
just
an MMA
a
fighter. That's a good one. I
there you go. Oh, it's not that funny. I mean, it's believable. I don't know why I'm laughing. So
no, it's not at all believable. Believe me, it is not at all believable. I bought a yearly gym membership, and my husband's like, we're going to go to the gym, we're going to do all this. I literally did 3 squats and then spent the rest of the time rolling around on the floor on my phone texting my best friend going, I fucking hate this. So no, me as an MMA fighter is not anything.
Oh man. Well, at least you tried.
Yeah, my 3 squats. I put in so much effort.
Squats suck, man.
They do.
Yes, they do. But they make your ass look good.
It does. Do. Especially when I'm sitting on it like 90% of my life.
Right?
To do something about that.
Oh, man.
3 squats once a year, you'll be fine.
I do a yoga.
Oh, God.
Try to at least every day. That's about it. I'm like, I'm so dead.
Yeah.
I think about it once a day.
Yeah, there you go.
Just send the energy there, you know, like, I'm sending the energy. Something's happening. All right, so we're going to get into your books a little here. In Kick, Push, and Coast, obviously, there's a skater. What is it about skaters that sparked your interest or your attraction, do you think? Do you remember, like, the first time you were like, oh, my God, skater?
Do I have to tell this story? This is so bad.
I think you should.
Yes, I agree. Do it.
Is it that bad?
Do it.
No, it was just I took my kids to the park, and I didn't specifically. I don't know, should I lie? I'm like looking around the room at nobody.
They're all sleeping.
Should I lie? I don't know. What do I do here? So I took my kids to a park, and attached to it, like to the side, is a skate park. And I just, I guess I was perving on, okay, yeah. So that's what happened. I was just watching the skaters there and I was like, hello, how are you? Pushing my kid on a swing and just like being mesmerized by skaters.
Yeah.
So that was when I realized that I wanted to write them into a book. But I think I've always, like, there's just something about them. I don't know. And
yes.
I don't know.
They're better.
Why?
I agree.
Tell me.
No, that's good.
Mm. There is something about them. Like, it's, they're athletic and not in the general sense of, like, being
like a jock,
really
jock.
Buff. And yeah. But they've still
yeah,
got,
they're
like,
still, like, rebellious
bodies.
And stuff.
Hmm. There's a, yeah, there's like a tinge to, like a tinge of, you know, you grind where you shouldn't. Oh my god, that's so bad.
Oh no, she didn't.
Oh my god. I was like, I'm okay answering personal questions, but this one was yeah. So I like to watch my
boy skate. Oh man. I was like a total skater groupie in high school, like I had a skateboard, and I could, like, push on it. I, like, could barely ollie,
push?
But, yes, I did. And I coached a little. But it's like, I mean, I never got near, like, a ramp. One time I did go down a ramp, but my wheel hit, like, a bump, and it, my board stopped, and I didn't. So
you did it. You went flying.
Yeah. My shoulder hit the ground. My legs went over my head. And I think like 5 or 6 people saw it. So after that, it was like, I'll just sit and watch the boys do it.
Yeah.
I'm not coordinated enough for that. But I've always had a thing for skater boys, too.
Yeah. It's just skaters. Like, I'm not into surfers. That sounds so weird, but it's just, it's literally just skaters. I don't really get it.
But how can you live in Australia and not be into surfers? Is it just because there's so many, like, you
oh,
get,
no.
like, okay, whatever.
Your vision of Australia is, like, From Home and Away or something. It's not like that everywhere. No.
It's not like beautiful tan dudes on the beach surfing everywhere with koala bears on their back.
we've been lying for our whole lives.
No, it's not like that. No. I mean, not where I am. I'm in like suburbia where it's like, yeah, they're just dudes. But yeah, if you go coastal, you'll find that. Kind of, but they're not like what they are. There's no Chris Hemsworth looking dudes all over Australia. That's like a once off. Or, yeah.
That's heartbreaking.
I know,
it is. I mean, I'd still go, but damn.
I wouldn't. Dangerous animals in those oceans, too, man. Australia's full of the most terrifying creatures I've ever witnessed on, like, Animal Planet.
I know, it's scary. No wonder you need a big dog.
With people. Yeah, no, it's not that bad. Like, I walk into spiderwebs and I'm like, eh, whatever. If it kills me, it kills me. It's not that bad. And especially the ocean, like, we have helicopters going above the beaches looking for sharks to warn you to get out of the water. It's not like a shark will generally come out of nowhere and just attack. So
yeah, but what about those tiny little jellyfish that, like, if one tiny little tentacle touches you, you're, like, dead within 20 seconds?
Wow.
Kelly, you
watch
too much
that.
Discovery Channel.
But you should totally come
you might have a point
me
there.
One day.
No, I would love,
like,
to go to Australia.
If she ever goes, she's going to be, like, wrapped in a blanket looking around everywhere, like, oh, my God, this is awesome.
Well, can you tell us a little about Kick, Push, and Coast?
Okay, so Kick, Push is about Josh Warden, who is a skater, obviously. He also found himself to be a single dad at 17. He was actually introduced as a secondary character in Where the Road Takes Me, which is kind of like a YA book, and it's technically the first book in the series. I have a thing for writing really long books, so, and it's always the second book in a series that I find to be stupid long. I did it with my More Than series as well. So Kick, Push and Coast is a duology in the Road series.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so he found himself to be a single dad at 17. He kind of gave up skating and just lived his life purely for his son until a certain girl comes along and changes everything for him. It's a good book. I like it. It's my favorite.
It is a good book. It is.
Yeah.
I started Coast yesterday, too, so I'm like, oh, my God, she's going to kill me. Like, I can already tell you you're going to kill me. Yeah. But I think you enjoy it, so.
I do. I actually wrote Kick Push. I started writing it, like, a year before I released it. And I probably had about 30,000 words down, and it was just sort of not going where I wanted it to be, and it was so not me kind of thing. I think I started writing it wrong because I was hoping that my publisher would purchase it, and because the first book in the series, Where the Road Takes Me, so young adult, I tried to keep it really young adult, and then I was like, no, I'm just going to write the story I want to write. And so I scrapped it all and rewrote everything and finished the book in like 3 weeks from start to finish. And so I just, once I really feel a story, and I haven't felt a story like I have with Kick Push, so once I really feel it, I just go hard. Like, don't talk to me. I don't go on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I don't go on Facebook. I don't binge watch TV. I don't do anything but write. So, yeah, no, I'm extremely proud of Kick Push and Coast. But, yeah, that's it.
Sweet. That's awesome. And, I mean, you can really see the effects of when you're, like, really feeling a story because it gets kind of the same reaction from your readers. It's been a really popular book, Kick Push. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it was really popular because it was just different. Like, you have your single dad stories.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are teen-related. Or, yeah, and a lot of them, you know, have the support of family and stuff like that. And there's just this dude that's got, like, nobody in his life. And I think that's why, yeah, he's got one person in his life who comes in and then, you know, his aunt and uncle later on. But I think everyone, like, from the prologue of the book, it just, poor Josh Warden. And then they feel for him, like, right away. And everyone loves a hero you can feel sorry for. Like, everyone does.
Yeah, and especially, like, for him to be a single dad and, like, such a good dad and a skater, too, like, ovaries exploding everywhere.
Everywhere. They're everywhere. That is so good.
He just leaves a mess everywhere he goes.
Some ovaries behind me. Oh, gosh.
It's like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
So what got you into writing to begin with? So what made you decide to write and publish your first book?
I hate telling this story because I feel like such a, I'm like a sham. Okay, so I started reading. Oh, it's so bad. I started reading to pretty much fight. We call it postnatal depression. I think you guys call it something else.
Postpartum.
Anyway, postpartum depression. Yeah. So I pretty much started reading to combat that just because I was like, I had cabin fever and I had 2 kids under 3 at the time. And I was just going a little bit crazy. So I started reading and I read 50 Shades because everyone does. So I read 50 Shades and then I read the Thoughtless trilogy and then I read... And then I read Slammed, and Slammed was like, by Colleen Hoover, just in case there's anyone listening who doesn't know what Slammed is. So I read Slammed, and that kind of just made me fall in love with, like, the words. And that was, I would say, about 3.5 years ago. And then I started writing 6 months after I started reading. And my first book took me 2 weeks to write. And once it was finished, I self-edited it. It was horrible. And I published it 10 days after I finished writing it, just on Amazon. And that's just how it started. It was,
oh, wow.
It was not, I'm not like one of those people who was like, I used to read when I was little and my mum would have to come into my room and tell me to turn the lights out, like, oh, naughty girl, go to sleep. And I was just
that was me.
Yeah, that was Kelly.
Like, that was not at all me. I was like, I don't even recall finishing a book, like, in high school when they make you read, like, Outsiders or Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll watch the movie. Like, that was me. And I had no expectations of reading, let alone writing.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of like a mix between the two of you, because I didn't read as much as Kelly did, like, when she was growing up and stuff, but I read a little bit, but I always loved to write. Like, I always was writing in journals poems or writing short stories, but it was never, like, a goal to be a novelist, you know what I mean? Like, it never even occurred to me. And so I think, and I would read occasionally, but it was mostly, like, you know, books that I thought would make me sound smart, like, oh, I read Ethan Eden, I'm so awesome, you know? Or, like, I would read, you know, books that I knew had turned into movies and I, you know, wanted to read the book first or something.
Yeah.
And then, like you, I was home, I had 2 kids, I felt like, you know, when I had free time, I was playing, like, Bejeweled on my phone, like, it was that boring.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was like, let me start reading again, and I heard about 50 Shades, and then it was like a spark was ignited, you know, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can totally relate.
Go.
I was just going to say I could totally relate to, like, you know, you don't want to be like, you know, seem like a fraud or whatever, like, oh, yeah, I've been reading my whole life, you know? We all have our different things that kind of ignite it, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're any less meant to be a writer as anyone else.
Yeah,
exactly.
I guess. I still feel like a poser, like, I will, you know, I'm like, I'm an accidental. I just, like,
there's no way, dude.
Accidentally wrote,
like,
a book and people read it.
I accidentally wrote this book.
And then kind of, like, yeah. That's pretty much my story. It was an oops. It was like,
did I do that?
Yeah, but still. If you've got a story and you just write it out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, I think, like, for me, I've always had, like, an imagination. Everyone has an imagination, but I think mine was sort of, like, a crazy one. And I just didn't know, I didn't have an outlet for it. And, like, sometimes, like, when I was 8 or 9, like, I was in love with Beverly Hills 90210, like, the original. Oh, 'cause this is why I write new adult and young adult, because of the TV shows I watch. So I was in love with, like, Beverly Hills 90210, and I was, like, in my mind, like, in my 8-year-old mind, I was like, Brandon Walsh is so dreamy, blah, 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 blah. And so, and then it, like, evolved from that. My mum would sit with me and watch Melrose
The
original
one.
Hold on,
Brandon Walsh better than Dylan?
Well,
I was
okay.
A Dylan fan.
So,
oh, but he was a surfer, though.
I had a best friend back then, and she was like, I love Brandon. So I was like, okay, then I'll have Dylan, because if you have Brandon, then we can't both have him, because this is how our minds work at 8.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And so
no one wanted the blonde dude.
But I couldn't force myself to like
Steve,
him.
Steve, please.
What?
I said, Steve, please. No one wants Steve.
Nobody
wants
Steve. What's the other dude? Do one with the three names.
I don't remember Brian Austin Green's character.
Yeah, I mean, that's his real name, but what was his name in the show?
I don't know. I thought it was Steve.
I thought Steve was
Steve
the blonde
was,
guy.
Steve was Ian Leary.
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about Donna's brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was his name
David.
Like Brenda and Brandon? What?
It was
Jason.
David, I thought.
Oh, yeah. David.
Oh, Jesus.
Cha-ching. Oh, poor
God. Why is this Jeopardy? I would be cashing in right now.
For real.
I had no idea my memory was so amazing. Only the shit that doesn't matter.
They weren't brother and sister, weren't they, like, dating forever?
They were dating sisters or something. Oh.
No.
You just took that story to a whole new level.
I did. Just did the stepbrother thing.
We'll just call them stepbrother and sister and everything. Or maybe I do. No, doesn't David. Okay, we'll discuss this later.
We're going to have a serious conversation about this later. We're going to straighten it out.
I think David and Kelly become stepbrother and sister.
Yes, that's who it was.
Yeah.
I know he's someone's stepbrother.
Yeah. And
but it wasn't Donna.
Tori Spelling was Donna. And we all know why she was on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Moving
I'm glad
on.
You brought that
all
up.
Right. Right? We needed to exercise that demon for a long time.
So Beverly Hills 90210 is why I started writing. The end.
Okay. Excellent. Did you ever expect to get such a strong reaction from readers and gain such a large fan base?
No.
Was a bit of a shock for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had, like, the market's changed so much now that you can't compare it, but I know when I say that, like, I'm an old-timer. 3 years ago.
It has changed a lot.
Literally
3 years
ago. 3 years ago today, I finished writing my first book, and I spent the next seven days sending out ARCs on Goodreads. Like, I had 100 of them, and I was like, you can take them, read them. Whatever. And then, so it kind of just took off from there. And no, I did not expect this. Because, like, 6 months after I started writing, my husband lost his job, and we were like, what do we do? So for 2 months, we were in limbo, and then I got a phone call from, like, a publisher. They're like, we want to buy a book, and everything just went, all right, well, I think this is what we're going to do with our lives now. So it was all just, like, within 6 months, everything changed.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah, and so, yeah, no, I did not expect, no. I had the book up on Fiction Press for a while. I don't know if you guys know about Fiction Press.
No.
And, you don't know? It's like Wattpad.
Okay.
From, like, 3 years ago. It was really popular, I guess.
It's crazy how much
so
it's changed in 3 years, right?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Because
it's insane.
I came out with Freeing Asia about 3 years ago, and it was like...
You did.
Everyone was on Goodreads. No one was on Facebook, and it was like, I don't know, there was a really big community, but it's just grown and grown, like, tremendously.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I was, like, reading, so about 6 months before I started writing, when I was reading, I wasn't going out and following authors on Facebook or... Like, I would just go on Goodreads, mark things off, tick it as read. I wouldn't even, I'd rate it, and I'd leave, like, this book was great kind of review. And it wasn't, like, a community. Like, now the book world is a full-on community. But at the same time, it's such a big one that there are so many authors in there that are just, like, striving to get noticed. So I'm extremely blessed that I came in just before the change because I feel like within that, you know, within a year of us publishing, it sort of just went, crazy. Like the indie world just went insane. So I mean, if I published 2 years ago instead of three, I think I think it'd still be a hobby instead of a career, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's. it's a lot of different aspects have to come together for it to work. You know, it's more than just having a good book or having a good, you know, like, marketing, you know. It's just, it's got to be a combination of a bunch of things. It's like the perfect storm. Everything's got to come together. But, I mean, that's awesome. And, I mean, it's funny because I had seen your books around a lot on Goodreads. I didn't know you at all until, I mean, not till like, we joined COPA that we really started talking or whatever. But I remember, like, Carmen Jenner had invited me to do a takeover. And I, like, fangirled over you, and I hadn't even read your book before. But, like, I saw your name in a private message, and I was like, oh, my God, Jay McLean is in here. totally made a fool of myself. And I think you, like, laughed or something, and I was like, oh, my God, she saw my message. And then now, like, you know, you beta read for me, and, like, we're just talking on the phone. I'm like, it's so funny that I was, like, fangirling just because I was like, oh, my God, she's so popular.
So, that just
goes to show that, you know, you're like the Jay McLean. I don't think you realize it.
But you and I have a lot of the same readers. And we released a book, I think, I'm not sure if, because I remember releasing more than this and, like, stalking Goodreads. And I think you came up, like, right after me, like, literally a couple of weeks after I did. Or before
I
know that people were reviewing our books at the same time. Yeah, so I released in July 2013. And I remember seeing your name everywhere, and I was like, and we had the same readers, and then back then I was like, who is this person taking away all my readers? And I was like, everyone's talking about this book, and no, they're not talking about mine anymore.
Or whatever, clearly you took all mine.
I think that's
bad
when I realized that the book world is like that. So, like, readers, I know, like, the, you know, back then I think a lot of authors expected to gain all this exposure and then become, like, instant overnight successes where they, you know, and I'd see it around a lot where people would sort of be like, oh, I was really popular for, like, 2 weeks and then now nobody's talking about me. And it's sort of weird because that's what readers do. They read a book, they talk about it, and then they continue on with their hobby that they love and they read another book and then they talk about
it.
Well,
there's always a new
book
out there.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was sort of like, that's when I realized, like, I'm being an idiot because people aren't going to be talking about me for years. Like, come on. So that's when I was like, all right, time to write another book. So you pretty much pushed me to write my other book, my next book. So thanks for that. Thanks for taking away all my readers.
Oh, that's cool. So
what
have been some of your favorite reactions or, like, messages that you've gotten from some of your readers? Like, what do any of them stand out?
When people get, like, my words tattooed on them, that's insane for me. Like, first time it happened,
you've
I was
got
like,
some
oh, my
hard.
God. Yeah, and then after that, like, a bunch of people have them now, and they're probably, like, I think, like, 5 or 6 people out there who have Coast or Kick Push Coast or a version of that tattooed on them.
Oh, wow.
And I just think that that's, like, that is insane. And people have it in my handwriting, and that's just, like, I don't know.
I mean, you're forever going to be on their skin, like, forever. That's
crazy. Forever. Someone's got, like, pretty much half of the blurb for More Than Forever, which is, like, I'd probably say my second most popular book. They've pretty much got half the blurb as a half sleeve on their arm. It is insane.
Wow.
And that was just, that blew my mind. I was like, I cry. Every time someone's like, I got this tattoo, and it's like my words, it's just, that to me is crazy. Because I would never expect that of anyone, let alone, like, a stranger. Like, sometimes I'm like, I say to my husband, I say to him, like, you should just get my name tattooed on you. He doesn't have any tattoos on him, and he's like, nah, I'm good. And then there are these people who are getting, like, my words full tattooed on them. So that's crazy.
Yeah. But that's cool. I mean, and then clearly it was, you know, it touched them enough to where they want to remember it for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's got to be, like, the biggest compliment ever.
It is. It's, like, there's a moment of, like, just disbelief when it happens where you're like, are you sure that that's what you want? Like, I mean, it's too late now, but are you sure? Because I kind of feel responsible. Like, and the thing is, like, I always feel, what if I write a book that they don't like and they don't support me anymore and then my words are, like, tattooed all over them? Like, I always feel that sort of
What if you, like,
weirdness.
Have a Britney Spears that meltdown?
Like, start shaving my head. Yeah, so there's always that.
Well,
but then I always think, like, I want to get you guys have read Slams or not by Colleen Hoover? Have you read it?
No.
Which book?
Slam.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I don't think we can be friends.
Yes.
I'm like,
I did read it.
Okay, so there's a line in it that's really powerful. It's just like, I'll take the lake. And I always, like, I want to get that tattooed on me. So I'm one of the people I'm freaking out about. But I want to get that tattooed on me. And I always just think, like, if I remember what it felt like to read those three words every time I look at the tattoo, then I'll be happy, like, regardless of what happens with her books, if I love them all or if I don't like one, you know, as long as I get taken back to that feeling. And I think that that's what, like, if I think of it that way and see that the readers have done that and want to feel that, then, I don't know, that makes me really happy. I'm, like, choking
up. Yeah, for sure.
It makes me so happy.
Aww. It's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's really
means something to everyone. You know, everything is like they, you know, they take it their own way, and it means something different for everybody.
Mm.
So it's awesome
yeah.
that so many people were so touched by your words that they, you know, want to be reminded of them every
day. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is. It's very sweet. Next.
No more. You're crying.
No, I'm good.
Now we've done everything on this show. Now we've made somebody cry.
Yes.
Gore.
Kick that off the list.
I have not heard any of these sound bites you've been bragging about. Is there like
oh God, I know. Okay, I'm gonna focus. Let me do one real quick.
We've got 13 minutes. You're gonna try to fit as many.
And this one, I mean,
in what?
I haven't found a good moment for that one, but I'm waiting.
I know, I'm like, but even that first one, what, like, in what instance would that be okay to use?
Oh, like when you're describing a really
hot
dude?
We'll find it, don't worry.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
When, I think
so
when you're talking about a really hot dude and you're like...
That's best.
Yeah, it's a lady boner. That's my lady boner noise.
There you go.
Oh my. I'm going to picture that like all the time now. Like every time I think of a hot dude, it's just going to be like that noise.
Boing.
Boing. I've been walking around the street, walking around the skate park, and I'll see someone, and I'll be like, boing, pointing to him.
As long as you keep it to yourself, you're all good. It's when you start shouting it.
No, I'll shout it.
Start saying it.
Oh, goodness.
All right, moving on then. Are there any genres that you're dying to write? Is there
Sorry,
something else?
Is there any?
Are there genres that you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm really strange. Like, I can only really, it sounds silly, but I can only read, like, young adult and new adult contemporary romance, and I can only write it, too. I can't even write characters over, like, 24. That sounds, I, like, struggle. It's, like, a real struggle for me to write mature characters. Because, like, listen to me, I'm an idiot. So, I struggle really hard. And
what do you think it is? Like, just their quirky characteristics or, you know?
I think I like writing characters that sort of find themselves and discover themselves. And, yeah, you can do that with older characters. You can do that, you know, it doesn't matter about their age. But for me, like, I feel like I speak a little bit young, too. And I think that, yeah, I just, hang on, I pushed my earplugs in too far and now I'm, like, deaf. that was really weird. I'm like echoing in my own brain. So oh, that's why I can't write mature characters. yeah, there's just something, I think there's something exciting about writing characters that sort of develop as you write them. And I think, yeah, I think that's why I sort of stick to that genre. But I don't know that I could do anything else that's not romance, like even with a twist of like paranormal or anything. Like I'll watch it on TV, but I don't think I could write it. They'd all just end up being Batman. Like it was just dumb.
What's this?
Oh, God.
It would just all be Batman.
They would all be Batman. Yeah, every single one. It's not even paranormal. It's just like a superhero book.
Oh, God. All right, so what are you currently working on? Can you tell us anything?
No, I can't. I really can't. There's two reasons why I genuinely can't, because, one, I tend to write, like, 30% of a book and then push it aside for a year and then go back to it like later on. So I do that with almost every book. And so I don't want to reveal it and have people like, oh my God. And then, you know,
and
disappoint them.
Yeah.
Like suckers.
So you have to wait till you're like 60% or 70% in before you actually say, okay, I'm doing this.
I have to be in that full mindset where I'm like, this is the book that I would be writing. Because once I get in that mindset, it doesn't take me long to finish and stuff like that. But I posted a teaser in my fan group on Facebook.
I saw it.
So I posted a little one. And so I don't know. I don't even know. I don't think I should have done that. But there's that. And also I have to give it to my agent who's going to, I guess, try to shop it around for me. I don't even know if that's the right word. I'm the worst author in the world. so I have to give it to her and see if she can sell it. And so I can't really talk too much about it without, you know, breaking contracts.
That's understandable then. We forgive you then.
Thank you.
It's all good.
I appreciate it.
But how do you envision where a story takes place? Is it somewhere that you've been or you want to be, you want to go?
Oh, all of my books besides two, they all take place in North Carolina. And I actually hadn't visited North Carolina until last August. But they all are based there because of the TV show One Tree Hill and Nicholas Sparks books and movies and Dawson's Creek. So I was like, oh, that place is really cute. So I'll just put everything there. But I didn't actually visit there until last year. So I should write a book about Texas because I love it so much.
Yeah, so I was going to say, what about Texas, this place you love so much?
Yeah, I would, but then all the characters would be, like, from Friday Night Lights. I would just be recreating that movie and that TV show. And, like, everyone would be Timmy Riggins.
Football
like,
players.
Everyone. I don't care. Yeah, pretty much. Like, I don't care what you are or who you are. You're Timmy Riggins. That's a downside to loving Texas is that I expect Timmy Riggins everywhere. And it's like your version of Australia. It just doesn't happen. But luckily, the state itself is good enough. But
that's
no,
cool.
I want to ride a little bit.
I grew up maybe like 2 hours from Wilmington, North Carolina, and that's where all those shows were shot. Yeah, and one of my friends actually catered for the studio, so she, like, met all the cast, and she owns a catering business, and she works on all the movies and shows out there. So when I heard that, I was like, guess what? I have a friend that's cool. That kind of makes me cool, right?
We actually, there was, like, a One Tree Hill convention last year. That's why we went there. So I had a signing, and then my best friend was like, hey, did you know this is happening too? Well, she doesn't really talk like that. She's like, yo, do you want to go to the fangirl convention? I was like, okay. I was like, it's an epic fangirl. So we went there, and that's the reason why I went there. But before that, I'd never been. And so we went around and drove to all the houses and stuff, that all the filming locations and everything.
Were you, like, fully fangirling?
Oh, my God. Like, there's video of me. I shouldn't say this, because it's going to come out at some point. There's a video of me crossing the... Because we flew in from Texas. So we flew into Texas, and then we flew from Texas to Charlotte, and then Charlotte to Myrtle Beach, and then Myrtle Beach we drove to Wilmington. So from South Carolina to the North Carolina border, there's this video of me sitting in the car, and I'm just making, like, these ridiculous noises. I don't even know, like, I don't know what happened, but I could not breathe. And then when we saw the sign for Wilmington, I had, like, this panic attack. It was, like, it was the best moment of my life. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm so embarrassed right now.
It's just, you know, you're like a teenage fangirl, but locked in a woman's body.
And locked in a 32-year-old. Am I 32? 83. Yeah, locked in a 32-year-old body, yeah.
Yeah, you tend to forget how old you are after, like, 21.
You do. Well, after, yeah, exactly. After 21, it's all just, like, whatever.
There's nothing
I'm
else
gonna have
for
babies.
You after that.
Yeah.
So which of your books
would
you like to
see a big deal
made into
there.
A movie?
Sorry,
oh, yeah.
Which my books?
Yeah, would you want
to? I don't know which topic
to
go on. I would say Kick, Push, and Coast. It'd be a long ass movie, but I would like that.
And do you know, like, who you
else.
Would cast?
Oh, no. Oh, God.
No.
I want to say Zac Efron, but can I have, like, 21-year-old Zac Efron instead of this one, like, current one? I'm going to say that. I'm making up my own rules.
Yeah, sure. You can have whatever the hell
so
you want.
So I'm going to go, like,
you're
High School Musical 3/17 against Zac Efron. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't know about the girl.
Yeah, who cares about the girl?
Yeah. Like, ew, whatever. Go away.
This is where you put the point.
Sorry?
This is where M inserts the boing.
I'll do it.
Oh, God. I'm so late. Okay, ready?
So late.
I'm off my game. I apologize. That's embarrassing.
For real, man.
I just thought that this is where I insert the boing. Where I insert the boing.
Yeah.
So great.
All right. I think we're getting into our readers' questions now.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So the first question is, two people kind of asked the same one, Karen Anderson and Sarah Malik. Karen says, love your books, but would love to know when the third book in the combative series will be released. And Sarah also wants to know when the third book in the combative series will be released.
Oh, my God. No, that's so much pressure.
That was my 60 minutes clock.
That was so good.
The clock
but
is ticking.
I kind of hate you because it just added. Like, so, okay, I don't know the answer. Pass. Can I pass?
Yes. Yes, you can.
I guess there's no answer.
There's
ladies.
No release date. there's no release date. There's no estimated release date. It's like everything else that I write, I'll tell you, like, a couple of weeks before I release a book that I'm releasing a book. And
yep.
You're just kind of 90%
done. You might know.
But yeah, no, I don't know. I'm one of those people that really have to, the characters really have to speak to me. Otherwise, I can't write it.
Yeah.
I force myself to write, and it's horrible. It's like really bad.
I definitely feel you on that. It takes me a year just to write a book because it takes me forever for my brain to get like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to prepare yourself. And if the character's not speaking to you, if the story is not talking to you, then, yeah, it's literally
you
like...
You can't force it.
Yeah. I walked to the door. I opened it. She was standing there. The end. Like, it's no.
Yeah, exactly. And no one wants to read that.
No one wants to read that.
So really, we're doing you a favor. All right. Oh. Ashley S. wants to know, what character has been your favorite to write?
Oh, it's sort of like a sub character. I liked writing more than enough. I liked writing Grandpa Banks. You guys don't know him. It's not a big deal. But he was my favorite character to write. Just because I found him really funny. And Josh has been... Josh from Kick Push kind of just came out of nowhere, and I love him, like, wholeheartedly. He sounds really strange.
She's back on her knee.
Yeah. So Grandpa Banks, I would say, and Josh Warden would be my two favorite characters.
So it's like,
oh, and Trump
Grandpa,
Lucy.
You said Grandpa Banks?
Yeah, so he's like, he's not really a
comedic.
Yeah, it's like a comedic side of him. So he's like, I don't know, like 22 or something, but he's like raised by his dad and his brother, and he sort of is just, he's in the Marines as well, but he's just sort of not into technology at all. So whenever he tries to text, there's like these, you know, epic failures.
That's like Kelly.
Like,
what?
In general.
I call Kelly Grandma all the time. She'll be like, how do I do this? I don't understand. Like, you're such a grandma.
Yeah, so you can't technology at all. So he's like that.
Technology terrifies
me.
Yeah.
I know, you're like, I can't call you on Skype, and I tried it first time, and it worked, so I don't know what your problem is. You should do it.
I message M in panics over shit all the time. How do I do this? What does this mean? What happens when this happens, you know? I'm like, what? No.
Oh, no, like, this is episode 14, and she's just figured out, like, how to access the, like, database that I had set up on Gmail. Like, this whole time I've been, like, sending it to her because she couldn't figure out how to... I'm like, I could have sworn I put you on there. Yeah, it only took, like, 14 episodes. It's all right.
Do you text people, or are you, like, a phone call type of person?
No, I text. I avoid phone calls. But I do a lot of, like, video chat. Like, me and my brother, we do FaceTime. We do the FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not completely hopeless. Once I get into the swing of things, I'm all right. But, you know,
if
like
you know how to do it once, you're set. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe two or three times.
She spends most of her time talking to sheep.
They're in the mountains this time of year. All right. So our next question is from, this is an insane name, and I'm so sorry if I butcher it. Betul Eriki?
I'm glad that you got this question.
You always give me the names, man.
I can't give you names.
But
if it's Ashley,
I
got it.
I know. If you could co-write a book with any author, who would it be and why?
I couldn't co-write a book with any author at all. Because I...
Anyone? Like, not even Coho?
No. Oh, God, I would vomit on her face.
See?
No, I couldn't.
Oh.
Just because I'm, like, I'm really... No one should rely on me to ever do something I'm supposed to do. It's like, I need this chapter by this date, and I'm, like, watching freaking alien conspiracies on YouTube, so I couldn't. I would feel bad for anyone.
Bird.
I would feel bad for anyone who would have to write, co-write a book with me. Like, that, yeah. Just the thought of it, makes me feel, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel that, like, me and Kelly have been talking about possibly doing something, and I'm, like, scared that she's going to be like, will you write something? Because I'll go, like, it takes me months before I'll, like, finally feel ready, and then I'll sit down and write it, you know? But, like, up until that point, it's just, like, watching Beyond Scared Straight and Catfish, and, you know,
we
like...
We totally have to plot this thing out.
She's on it. Like, every free moment, she's, like, reading or writing, and I'm like, eating popcorn, you know?
Yeah,
the slacker in that relationship.
It's amazing.
It's all right.
Like,
you
help
me out with technology.
Some toys work really well. So I know, like, Rochelle Page and Al Christensen, is it? Imagine if I got that wrong. That would be, I would be, you are getting kicked out of COBRA. They write an insane amount of books, an insane amount of words, and they work so well together.
Yep.
They're beasts.
Yeah, they are.
No,
but I'm sure they're not sitting there watching alien conspiracies for 18 hours.
Yeah. they're focused.
They're super focused.
I envy that.
So that's why.
So, last question is from Devin. What's the hardest part about breaking into self-publishing, and do you have any tips?
Oh, God. I mean, self-publishing now, I couldn't even tell you what to do to break it. Like, it's so hard now to even get noticed. Even as an already published author, you know, it's hard to get noticed anywhere. As far as the actual publishing side, I urge you strongly to spend money. If you are going to spend money, spend it on a good cover and a good editor. And do your research as well. Like, I shouldn't say that because I don't research anything. but do your research as far as publishing platforms go, and I don't know. I think if the way I see it is that if you write a book good enough that people want to talk about, people are going to talk about it. Use Goodreads. Use Goodreads. As awful as some people might say it is, especially on this side of the fence, because Goodreads is a reader's platform, I would definitely suggest you use it. There are people who will beta read your book for free. There are people who will proof your book for fun, but don't use them. No, I'm kidding. use them, but also pay for an editor, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But there are people who will read and review your books. There are so many platforms out there, so many groups out there that are willing to help new authors, and I think that Goodreads is an amazing place to find those people, because Goodreads is like where the nerds hang out, where like all the book nerds hang out. And if you're not if you're on Facebook and you love books, that's awesome, and if you're promoting authors through that, that's fantastic as well. But the people who love to read and are so passionate about it, you'll find them on Goodreads.
That's where, like, the true blue bookworms hang out.
And those are the people that will help you without Goodreads in my life, like, I would not be here. I can honestly say that. Without, I can pinpoint three certain people on Goodreads who read my book, who shared it with their friends, who posted about it everywhere, who added me on Facebook, who changed my life. Three people. I'm not going to name them because I don't know if they want to, but those three people on Goodreads, they changed everything. So use Goodreads and, pay for a good cover, pay for an editor, do your research on editors too, because you want to find so many people that are like, I'm such a good editor because I read a book and I can pick out typos.
Definitely get someone who's recommended, you know.
Get someone who has look at their credentials on their websites, their testimonials, things like that.
Yes.
And yeah, use Goodreads.
My editor makes me cry.
Because she's so mean.
You want an editor who makes you cry, right?
You want an editor who makes you cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, every time you see all that red.
I know.
And all the little bubbles before you click into the editing mode when you get the manuscript back, you're like, oh, that's a shit ton of comments.
I get them back and I have to go. I go through comments first and then I go through the edits. That's get the worst out of the way and then I'll deal with the rest later. So I'll cry and then I'll edit through my tears.
I think it's where they get their power.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
a lot of people try to kind of rush it, and I don't think they realize, like, you know, there's so many drafts that come before the final product, and it's like the longer you spend, because you get excited and you just want to put it out there, but the more input you get, just the better and better the story gets, you know?
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
And you have to be
that's
able
true.
To take criticism.
Oh yeah,
you have to and consider it. You have to sit there and take the feedback and be like, you know, that's not. It's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's easy to get defensive over your work, and you have to be able to take it objectively, you know, and actually think, like, maybe they're right. Maybe I should, you know, because it's all just, you know, it's different when you're writing just for yourself, but when you're ready to put it out there, you're going to get all kinds of feedback. You got to try to, you know.
I mean, there's
and I would
line
say
between...
just don't give up, because it's definitely a long road for most people.
Definitely.
Some people go years before they're really noticed.
Exactly. And I'm always under the impression that, like, if I woke up tomorrow and I was like, I don't want to write anymore, and if I felt like that, I would stop, because I don't want to release something in the world that's just like, I'm writing this because people are going to buy it and I'm going to make money off it. You want to write something and you want to release something because it's part of you and
you
put
it.
Yourself into
yes.
it and you love it. So I think, like, it's hard to say. You don't want to be like, lower your expectations. You're not going to be a bestseller overnight. Who knows? You might be. It could happen. But at the same time, like, if you're doing it for the sake of making money, then you're in it for the
then
wrong reasons. And I know that, you know, all of us,
absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure every COPA author would agree on that specific note. Like, it's tough. And, you know, you might not make back the money you make on paying for an editor and paying for a cover and paying for formatting and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you've achieved something so amazing.
And when you hold
like,
your own
paper
back in your hand,
it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah,
it is.
You've got to have that love. You've got to have that love there to fall back on when you're feeling completely, you know, depleted. And if you don't have that foundation there and that reason that you're doing it to begin with, then it's not that you're going to run out of steam. You know, that's the only thing that's feeding the flame, pretty much. So.
Yeah,
you definitely gotta have that
for it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
For sure. All right. Well, I guess it's time we announce the giveaway winner.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yep.
They're so good.
All right. I swear I miss my calling as a DJ.
I totally miss as a DJ. That'd be so fun.
So the winner of the signed copy of Kick, Push, and Coast goes to Ashley Spiker.
Ashley!
I bet
she's Ashley! Congratulations, Ashley! Aww, yes. I love Ashley. That's awesome.
Ashley, please contact Jay on her author page, send her a PM, and she will get back to you as soon as possible.
Aww, I'm so happy it's Javen won it. I'm so, like, she's probably screaming and jumping up and down, and I don't want to be like, settle down, okay? Just settle down.
Oh, man. All right, well.
Oh, good.
Next week, we're going to have Sydney Halston on, and Jay, we'd like to thank you for waking up and hanging out with us this morning for
thank
you.
Thank you so much for having me. That was so fun. I was, like, so nervous. And then that boy-oing thing happened, so I'm good now.
Well, you know, we do
thank
what we
you
can.
Guys so much.
Thank you. It was a lot
thank
of fun.
You.
We'll talk to you later.
Yes, it was.
All right.
All right, guys.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.